Hello, you have tuned into Preaching with Pastor David Spencer. Listen, I am excited, I am humbled, I am honored that you chose to spend this time with me. I hope this message changes you and blesses your life.
Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8, and it reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips.'" We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the thongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.' Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And then I responded, "Here I am, send me." Our topic on this morning comes from the 8th verse. "Here I am, send me." Let us pray. God, we thank you for this moment. God, we thank you for who you are, God. We thank you, God, that you have been with us, God. You have been here, God. You are here, God. And we just ask, God, you continue moving the way you want to move, God. Decrease me, God. You increase, God. And just prepare our minds and our hearts, God, to receive a word from you, God. We love you. We adore you. And we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, in this church, and in this community, God. And we'll forever give your name the praise. Amen. Amen. On September 8th, 2022, most of us was there, Queen Elizabeth II, she was the United Kingdom's longest-serving monarch. She died at the age of 96 after reigning for over 70 years. It was said 9 out of 10 people have never known another British monarch besides Queen Elizabeth. She reigned that long. She was the queen for 30% of U.S. history, and her reign spanned the terms of 14 American presidents. Some say Queen Elizabeth II is one of the most influential persons of the past 100 years. Now, regardless of how you felt about her, it is undeniable that her reign represented stability in the region, and her presence held her nation together. So it's not surprising that when Buckingham Palace announced the passing of the Queen, for a brief moment, the world stood still. I still remember images of her were on every news channel, and pundits spent hours discussing her life, her death, and her legacy. And for about a week, the only thing people wanted to talk about on Facebook was the Queen. Now, watching how the entire world, reacted to the death of the Queen Elizabeth, it helped me better understand what was going on in the text. At verse 1, it says, "This is the year that King Uzziah died," which means the kingdom of Judah is experiencing a season of transition that is stained with uncertainty. Uzziah was 16 when he became the king, and he reigned for 52 years. And for 52 years, he kept God's commandments. God was with them, and Judah prospered during his reign. He could make things happen. He was a vigorous and able ruler, And because of this, his name spread throughout the land. And even though King Uzziah died out of the will of God, that doesn't negate the fact that he had an impeccable record of success among his people. And now that the king is dead, we find Isaiah in deep thought about what is going to happen to his people. His country is without a leader. They are without a king. And Judah is losing its mind. They decided they can do whatever they want to do. And now they find themselves sinning against God. It all sounds too familiar. Today, everyone has their own truth. They decide for themselves what is good and what is evil. Deciding for themselves what is right and what is wrong. Their emotions inform their actions. Their feelings justify their decisions. They want to be the judge and the jury. But there's an old song that says it this way. I know that the Bible is right, and that tells me that somebody is wrong. And the only way the world will turn from their wicked ways is for someone to go and tell them what thus saith the Lord. The only way they will come to know who God is for someone to go and facilitate an introduction. And on this morning, God is looking for a willing vessel. He is looking for someone to stand up. He is looking for someone who will finish the assignment. He is asking the same question: whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And the only response that matters, the only response that makes sense, is to say, here I am, God send me. And some of you may already be there, unwavering in your declaration, unwavering in your conviction, unwavering in your commitment. But I come today to remind somebody of our responsibility, to remind somebody of our assignment. There is work for us to do, and all we have to do is lift up our hands and say, here I am, send me. And the first thing I want you to do today is make sure you are intentional about finding God. Find God in every situation, everything that comes up. Be intentional about finding God. We have already established that this is a turbulent season for Judah. They have lost their leader. Strong leadership is important. Would you agree? In the absence of strong leadership, there is chaos. And as we examine the pages of history, we find many periods of chaos. Some could argue that we are living in a period of chaos right now. Turn on the news and you'll see families divided. You'll see a former president getting indicted. Mass shootings are commonplace. And the institution of marriage is under attack. They're trying to redefine what it means. Governments are waging war, and pastors, there's some pastors that are cussing in the pulpit. And in all of this, sometimes you can't help wonder, where is God? And as Isaiah tells us that during this season of chaos, what did he say? I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And listen, the throne is reserved for royalty. It's reserved for the one that is in control and is in charge. Young people, it's reserved for the one calling the shots. And when we see someone seated on the throne, it tells us that they are in charge. Psalm 47 says, God reigns over the nations. He's over all of the nations. So even though there's not a king seated in the natural over all the nations, there is always a king seated in the throne of heaven. And he is Lord.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
And so what that tells me is that God is still in the business of looking down and blessing his kids. Every day God is working and moving and moving and working it out. And so when you see chaos, it's your duty to find God. And remember who you serve. Do not forget his goodness And do not forget where he is seated. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has already done for me, that is enough to remind me that even in the chaos, even in turbulent moments, God has my back. No matter what comes my way, all I have to do is think back and remember what God has already done. Listen, when the world gives you chaos, you'll find God seated on the throne and he's unbothered. And in the midst of chaos, he is still in control and he is still in charge. And if you do the work to find him, I guarantee God will give you peace. So number one, do your duty. Find him. Pray, talk to him, seek his face. Find God in the midst of chaos. Number two, once you find him, you got to do the work to get in his presence. So number one, find him. Number two, get in his presence. In the presence of God, the seraphim with the loud voices crying, holy, holy, holy. They are worshiping. They are praising the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory. During this encounter, Isaiah begins to see himself and the people around him. And he comes to the conclusion that their reflection does not look like God. They are unworthy and they need a savior. They had a king, but they needed a savior. Isaiah specifically began to focus on his lips. They are unclean. They don't tell us what he was doing, but he says, hey, I have unclean lips. So that tells us he had a dirty mouth. And so he began to look at himself, not at everybody else, but he began to look at himself. And after he finished doing a self-check and a self-assessment, the seraphim brought a hot coal from the altar and it touched Isaiah's mouth with it and said, behold, this had touched your lips and your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. And how do we get saved? You have to confess it with what? Your mouth. And so this, your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. And the very thing that Isaiah called dirty, the thing that he called unclean, the thing Isaiah said was unfit for the master's use, the piece of himself that he thought was unworthy, is the very thing that God wanted him to use to speak to the nation of Judah. But it wasn't until Isaiah got into the presence of God that he discovered his true purpose and what God's plan was for his life. And listen, it took an encounter. It took him getting into the presence of God to change his life forever. Listen, something happens when you get into the presence of God. You cannot stay the same. You cannot be who you have always been. Those things that you used to do, you can't do no more. Those things you used to say, you can't say anymore. The places you used to go, I don't want to find you there anymore. After you have an encounter and you get in the presence of God, your appetite for sin should change. And before you can go witness to anybody else, before you can go tell anybody else what's wrong with them, you must first get in his presence and allow him to clean you up. Now, when was the last time you said, God, clean me up and purify my heart? When is the last time you said, purge me with hyssop and make me whiter than snow? When is the last time you asked God to rip the sin out of your life? When is the last time you got in the presence of God and allowed him to show you your issues that are keeping you from him? You cannot lead anyone into the presence of God if you haven't been there yourself. And listen, before you go out and try to witness and try to convert anybody else, it's imperative and it's a must that you yourself must get in the presence of God. And we're moving. So number one, find God in the chaos. And then you got to press to stay and get in his presence. And the last thing you need to do is say what you mean and mean what you say. If you say, here I am, send me. You got to say what you mean and mean what you say. Now that you have seen God seated on the throne and you've been in his presence, you realize he is not just the master of the universe, but you have allowed him to be the master of your life. You have surrendered your personal space. And you have allowed God to clean you up and to purify your heart. You have agreed to be the answer to his question. You have agreed to be his reflection. You have signed and agreed to complete the assignment. Or you have raised your hand and you have declared these words, "Here I am, send me." Now, if you say it on this morning, listen, you got to mean it. You said it, so you got to mean it in your heart. When you say those words, make sure you fully understand the assignment. Now, at the end of this chapter, God is speaking and he says, "You will preach my word and you will make disciples when people don't have ears to listen." So sometimes they're going to reject you, but will you stand fast and stick to the assignment? Will you show them who God is? Will you show them my love? Will you show them his love when they don't have eyes to see? Will you give them love even when they don't want to receive it? When people harden their hearts, will you stand there and still boldly proclaim the word of God and tell of the goodness of Jesus? Listen, the assignment isn't easy. The assignment isn't for the faint of heart. The assignment is grueling and it's hard work. There will come a time when your best effort is met with rejection. You're doing the best you can, and it feels like your best isn't good enough. Doing all you know to do, but it will seem like it is never enough. But in those moments, will you continue to take them living water, even if they refuse to drink? You'll have manna from heaven coming down from heaven, but somebody will refuse to eat. And will you be steadfast in your decision? You'll show them heaven, but they will reject it and choose hell. In those moments, lift up your head and keep doing the will of God. Keep doing what God told you to do. Keep saying what God told you to say. Be steadfast in your decision and finish your assignment. The only way you're going to help them is to open your mouth and tell them about the goodness of Jesus. You got to show them God. You got to show them love. You got to show them his power. It's your responsibility. It's your assignment to share the word of God, to share what he did on Calvary. When they see you coming and they turn to go the other way, you still got to say, "Here I am. Send me. God, you sent me, so I'm going to finish what you've started in my life." When they call you everything but a child of God, stay right there, because you made the decision and you said, "God, send me. I am going to finish the assignment." Listen, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap and we won't faint. So listen, on this morning, don't faint. Don't give up. Finish what you started. I don't know about you, but I'm going to run on and see what the end is going to be, because God is my strength. And I know where my strength and I know where my help comes from. I know that God is with me. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. And so when I make the declaration to follow him, that gives me access to his power. I have power. Why? Because God gave it to me. I have authority. Why? Because God gave me the authority. And I have the victory because he gave it to me. I have everything I need to finish the assignment. The thing about God, when you say, "Here I am and send me," when you make that declaration, when you make that promise, when you say, "God, I want to be used by you," God will meet you right there, and he'll give you what you need. And so your job is to be obedient and do what he says. You do the work, and God will meet you right where you are, and he will give you the provision to get the job done. Do you believe that on this morning? Come on, do you believe that on this morning? Put those hands together. Make that decision to say, "Here I am, send me." Can you stand?
Hello, family. Thank you again for tuning in to Preaching with Pastor David Spencer. Listen, I hope something was said that changes your life. Until we meet again, I speak peace and blessing over you, your family, and everyone connected to you. Be blessed.